Well, good morning, everybody. Linda's going to come and read an entire chapter in the Bible this morning. An entire chapter, and it's not a short chapter. It's Nehemiah chapter 9, if you would turn in your Bibles, and it's an amazing chapter. So why don't we stand together as the reading of God's Word this morning. Amen.
Nehemiah chapter 9. On the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and having dust on their heads. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day, and spent another quarter in confession and in worshiping the Lord their God. Standing on the stairs were the Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Kenani, who called out with loud voices to the Lord their God. And the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, "Stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and named him Abraham. You found his heart faithful to you, and you made a covenant with him to give to his descendants the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Jebusites, and Girgashites. And you have kept your promise because you are righteous. You saw the suffering of our forefathers in Egypt. You heard their cry at the Red Sea. You sent miraculous signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his officials and all the people of his land, for you knew how arrogantly the Egyptians treated them. You made a name for yourself, which remains to this day. You divided the sea before them so that they passed through it on dry ground, but you hurled their pursuers into the depths like a stone into mighty waters. By day you led them with a pillar of cloud, and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the way they were to take. You came down on Mount Sinai. You spoke to them from heaven. You gave them regulations and laws that are just and right, and decrees and commands that are good. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and gave them commands, decrees, and laws through your servant Moses. In their hunger, you gave them bread from heaven, and in their thirst, you brought them water from the rock. You told them to go in and take possession of the land you had sworn with uplifted hand to give them. But they, our forefathers, became arrogant and stiff-necked and did not obey your commands. They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them, even when they cast for themselves an image of a calf and said, 'This is your God who brought you up out of Egypt,' or when they committed awful blasphemies. Because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the desert. By day, the pillar of cloud did not cease to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine the way they were to take. You have your good spirit. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. For 40 years you sustained them in the desert. They lacked nothing Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen. You gave them kingdoms and nations, allotting to them even the remotest frontiers. They took over the country of Sihon, king of Heshbon, and the country of Og, king of Bashan. You made their sons as numerous as the stars in the sky, and you brought them into the land that you told their fathers to enter and possess. Their sons went in and took possession of the land. You subdued before them the Canaanites who lived in the land. You handed the Canaanites over to them, along with their kings and the peoples of the land, to deal with them as they pleased. They captured fortified cities and fertile land, and they took possession of houses filled with all kinds of good things, wells already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. They ate to the full and were well nourished. They reveled in your great goodness. But they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They put your law behind their backs. They killed your prophets who admonished them in order to turn them back to you. They committed awful blasphemies. So you handed them over to their enemies who oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to you. From heaven you heard them, and in your great compassion you gave them deliverers who rescued them from the hand of their enemies. But as soon as they were at rest, they again did what was evil in your sight. You abandoned them to the hand of their enemies so that they ruled over them. And when they cried out to you again, you heard from heaven, and in your compassion you delivered them time after time. You warned them to return to your law, but they became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. They sinned against your ordinances by which a man will live if he obeys them. Stubbornly they turned their backs on you, became stiff-necked, and refused to listen. For many years you were patient with them. By your spirit you admonished them through your prophets. Yet they paid no attention, so you handed them over to the neighboring peoples. But in your great mercy you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. Now therefore, our God, the great, mighty, and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love, do not let all this hardship seem trifling in your eyes. The hardship that has come upon us, upon our kings and leaders, upon our priests and prophets, upon our fathers and all your people, from the days of the kings of Assyria until today. In all that has happened to us, you have been just. You have acted faithfully while we did wrong. Our kings, our leaders, our priests, and our fathers did not follow your law. They did not pay attention to your commands or the warnings you gave them. Even while they were in their kingdom, enjoying your great food, your great goodness to them, and the spacious and fertile land you gave them, they did not serve you or turn from their evil ways. But see, we are slaves today, slaves in the land you gave our forefathers, so they could eat its fruit and the other good things it produces. Because of our sins, its abundant harvest goes to the kings you have placed over us. They rule over our bodies and our cattle as they please. We are in great distress. In view of all this, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word today. Amen.
You may be seated. Wasn't that great? How many of you enjoy listening to the reading of the Word of God done with excellence? As it unfolds this morning, I'll tell you why we read the whole chapter in the Scripture, and but I'll tell you one thing is that we're going to do it more often, and I've said that before. But as this story unfolds in Nehemiah, I think that sometimes we've given lip service to the Word of God, and you'll see in this story, like they would read it for 3 hours in a service, but when the service started, they would repent, and there was going to be a revival in the land, but they had to repent as they looked at the history of the story. No multimedia today. I shoveled too much snow today, this week, so just as you ran out of week, so did I. Just being honest. So good morning. I feel strong this morning. How many of you feel strong? At the beginning of this week, I was saying, no more snow. I really was. Maybe a bit of a grumble. But as the week progressed, I kept finding that I was getting stronger. I was actually enjoying it, going outside. I can do this. It was good. I can do this. I felt good about it, and I was feeling stronger every day, almost hourly, as I did my hourly snow workout, and it was good. It's good to feel physically healthy and strong, isn't it? How many of you can relate to that? It's so good to feel physically and healthy. Amen? And no, and for those of you who don't, I wish you would. And I'll help you. And I'll encourage you. But as I was getting physically stronger this week, I was also thinking about being spiritually strong as well. And I don't know how many of you think about that from day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute in your life, about, I'd like to be spiritually stronger. I don't know if that's on your radar, but it was on my radar, and especially this week it was on my radar, and I was thinking about that. And I thought about Holy Spirit a great deal this week. And it's funny, it seems like everything I read this week involved Holy Spirit, and I desperately need in my life Holy Spirit's dunamis power in my life, and so do you. We desperately need Holy Spirit's dunamis power in our life. I do, and so do you. And Acts 1 and 8, it tells us, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and to the ends of the earth. The Greek word for power in this verse is translated dunamis, from which we derive the English word dynamite. Dynamite. And dunamis could be translated as explosive strength, ability, and power. I'm telling you right now, without the Holy Spirit, in Nehemiah's story that they read, nothing would have happened in that story. Nothing would have happened. I felt so strong from shoveling all week. I felt like I can do this. Amen? And with Holy Spirit's dunamis power, I feel the same way. I can do this. I can do this. And I pray that you feel this way as well. I can do this. One of the discouraging things for me as a pastor, and I will leave you encouraged, but one of the discouraging things for me as a pastor is sometimes the body of Christ. And the dunamis power of the Spirit of God within us should make us better, not bitter. Would you agree with that? Better, not bitter. And yet, I meet a lot of bitter believers. And I meet a lot of people who never seem to get over their junk. And whenever they call me and they want to talk to me, they tell me the same story that they told me many, many years ago. And they said, but you don't understand. It is so hard. It's so hard. And I get it. And I get it. And as a pastor, I'm supposed to always pour my heart out to you. But at some point, can I say, you need the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit in your life to help you get over this, so that we could get over it, so that we could go to Samaria and we could go to all the ends of the earth with a positive perception in our hearts of who Jesus Christ is and give it to the world around us who so desperately needs it. But if we are sick, how are we going to give anything to anyone in the world around us? Amen? And sometimes, you know what? I get tired. But I don't get tired of shoveling. And I don't get tired of doing my devotionals. And I don't get tired of filling my house with worship music. And I don't get tired of doing my devotions in the morning. We spoke about that this morning. We said, okay, your devotions. And it's like this. This week I said, well, you know what? we could look at exercise as and being thankful for something that our body can do as opposed to it being punishment for something that we ate. Well, it's the same thing when we get up in the morning. We could look at the Word of God and we can say, God, I get to visit with you. Or as opposed to saying, oh, I hope I have 10 minutes time this morning to give to God. Like, it's a relationship. Can you imagine if I entered into our relationship like that? Oh, I guess I have to spend an hour with Linda today, you know, like, how's that gonna work out, you know? And so I'm just saying sometimes I get discouraged. But I'm not discouraged in my walk with God. I'm not discouraged but sometimes I get discouraged. But then I have to go to get the dunamis power of God so that you can continue to pour into the body of Christ. But I want to see the body of Christ healthier. I want to see the body of Christ excited. I want to see the body of Christ. And I know we look outside. We're like everyone else. We say, oh my goodness, when is winter going to end? But look at the beautiful, beautiful sky today. And look how gorgeous it is. And you can still get outside and you can go for a walk. So how many of you know that the Spirit of God is good? How many of you know that the Spirit of God is good? Nehemiah 9 and 20, and I got Linda to read the whole scripture this morning. Doesn't she read beautifully? You know who else reads really beautifully in this church? Is Cheryl. I'm going to get her to. Between Linda and her, oh my goodness, they just, beautiful the way they read the scripture. But I got her to read the whole thing, but I'm only focusing on the one verse here. And the reason I got her to read the whole thing is because in the story, they read the scriptures for 3 hours after they had repented and before they even worshiped God. Like, folks, okay, start reading, girl. Okay, 3 hours. I will be with you, okay? Because you read really well. Okay, so can you start right now? 3 hours. Is that okay with everyone? 3 hours? Oh, but wait, we didn't repent first. So, sorry, can you wait 3 hours before you start? Because we have to begin to start to repent right now. Because we want a revival in our country. Amen. Amen? And you know what? In the story here, they wanted a revival, but they didn't call on God and say, God, we want a revival, but we have no part in this. It's all going to be about you. And when the revival comes, we're going to join the party. And it's all going to be fun. And it's going to be awesome. But we don't have to do anything. Well, that's not the way the story unfolded here. They repented. So what do I have to repent of? What do you have to repent of this morning? Anyways, it says here that the Spirit of God is good. In Nehemiah 9 and 20, it says, you gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. I love that. This caught me this week. It said, you gave your good spirit. Now, I know it gave your spirit, but it says you gave your good spirit. So that word caught me this week. And it said, like, so Holy Spirit is good. The word good signifies a pleasant, joyful, and agreeable experience. Hallelujah. Then why are there so many grumpy Christians? Like, seriously, so, John, say with me, Lord, give me your good spirit to instruct me.
Lord, give me a good spirit
to instruct me. Okay? So let's say that together. Lord, give me your good spirit to instruct me. That means that the good spirit here, it says that Holy Spirit is good. The word good signifies a pleasant, joyful, and agreeable experience. Are you experiencing that in your life this morning with Holy Spirit? Honestly, are you? Okay? And so God saw, the word good, it appears first in Genesis 1 and 4, and it says God saw the light was good. Immediately the darkness was dispelled to make life possible. You know what? There's some things in my thought life maybe that you wouldn't think is dark, but maybe I would think is dark because it's not glorifying or edifying to God. And I want that darkness to be dispelled, whatever it would be. Whether it be a bad thought about you, which is not, I'm just using that as an example, you know. Okay? I'm not your wife. This is heavy. I had to make some light of it. Okay? It's good. The experience is good. Amen? So light makes us feel alive and alert. We need the good spirit. The sunshine on Thursday, as the sunshine today, didn't it make you feel great in the midst of the storms? Were you traveling on Thursday? No, it wasn't Thursday. Were you traveling? Wasn't it nice to travel from Temiscaming or wherever you are home, and it was sunshine in the midst of the storms all week? The light. Light makes us feel alive and alert. A pastor I know said this, many helpful and valuable results materialize when the Spirit is at work. Someone is going to be blessed. A national revival broke out in Nehemiah's day. People spent their days with God. They listened to His Word. They confessed their sins. And they sang praises. And what happened? Heaven invaded earth. Okay, now I may be naive, and you may have heard this 1,000 times from Nehemiah, and you may hear it all the time, every time you turn on the Christian radio station or you put on a radio show and stuff like this. But this guy here still believes that there could be a revival when we do those kind of things. And there's no apathy, and there's still a hope that these things could happen, even though we live in a secular humanist country that has turned their back on God. It doesn't matter. God was God. The persecution that these people were under in that day was incredible. A national revival broke out. Has there ever been anyone here? Have you ever experienced a national revival? Has there ever been a national revival in Canada? Anyone? A national revival? Yes, I know there's been revivals here. Has there ever been? Just pockets. So Little Gateway Church, the corner of Marshall and Booth, and not full this morning and stuff like this. Do you think that if we really had a heart for God, like an honest heart for God, like we repented of the junk and we got really serious instead of the pastor having to do this every week to stir the people up and but really, do you think a revival can happen? At least even in our city? You know? Even in our city. I do. So for 8 straight days, they praised God for His goodness. 8 straight days, they praised God for His goodness. Amen. They realized that they had kept His promises, and they lavished them with his abundant love. And during the most powerful move of God, leaders reviewed the history. You know what? I remember the day I got saved. I just spoke about that this morning in our Connect group. I spoke about the day I got saved. I remember the history of my journey with the Lord. I remember of the people in my life who introduced me to Jesus, who encouraged us, who prayed, who introduced us to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and stuff. And I review this history all the time, and I start to thank God for it. What about you this morning? Do you review the history? And that's what they were doing in this story. They recounted the blessings after blessings during their wilderness wanderings. For instance, they experienced God's presence in a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, and they thanked God for it. They had supernatural shelter and guidance. Oh my goodness, we had supernatural shelter and guidance this week, when this winter, when it's been so cold, and I thank God every day for my furnace. Oh my goodness, thank you, Lord, that the furnace works. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm telling you, you know, God didn't come and actually install the furnace. Maybe it was you that installed it when you did that business. I don't know. But you know what? I thank God for that furnace. And you know what? As they were reviewing that, they were thanking God for supernatural supplies. Holy Spirit is good. Amen? He leads us in all truth. He feeds your soul. Whenever you open your Bible, amen? Whenever you open your Bible, ask Him to reveal something real, to make it come alive to you, to instruct you in His ways, in God's ways. Amen? Amen? Holy Spirit is our leader who walks with us and guides us. He inspires us to recognize God's truth and to do what God says is right. It's essential that we recognize the importance of Holy Spirit. Folks, if Pentecostal, I'm not saying you're not doing that, but I'm encouraging you to be consistent and do it more. Do you realize, James, if you pause that for 1 second, are you able to just continue? Is it paused? Can't do it? Okay. Never mind then. Without the Holy Spirit, folks, there'd be no creation, no universe, no human race. And without the Holy Spirit, there would be no Bible. There'd be no New Testament. There'd be no power to effectively communicate the message of Christ. Without Holy Spirit, there would be no way to have faith in God, no way to experience spiritual salvation or renewal, no way for Jesus' followers to live a life in holiness. Our world desperately needs an outpouring of God's goodness and of His mercy. We do not deserve it, okay? We do not deserve it, but we urgently need it. We urgently need it. However, the only way we can obtain these gifts is to seek God wholeheartedly. And if people across the earth would sincerely follow the Lord, you know, the world would be a different place. And I believe, and this is where the apathy or the negativity would come in sometimes into my spirit, where I need the Lord, where I would allow my mind to look at something that is real, but I don't want to admit it. But while there's individuals in every culture that are genuine believers, the majority aren't. Okay? The majority aren't. And if people across the world would just start to cry out for God. So the returned exiles in this story, they were determined to seek after God, His goodness and His mercy. They faced with rebuilding the nation and their society. Our society needs to be rebuilt. There's decisions that are being made in government every other day that are going to affect generations to come. Oh my goodness. They needed God to pour out His Spirit of goodness upon them, arousing the people to work together, to build righteousness, just productive and loving society. You know, I got to tell you something, Mark. Mark's going through a hard time, okay? And it's easy for you you're here this morning and you're struggling, okay? And this is your family, and you're struggling. And it's okay to struggle through what you're struggling with in isolation. But you came to be here today. So even just speaking to you like now, I could see from your face it's giving you some hope. Okay? And so often we practice our Christianity in isolation, and we go through things in isolation, don't we? And we weren't designed to do that. These people, they gathered together. They worked together. And they needed God to pour out His good spirit upon them, arousing the people to work together to build a righteous, just, productive, and loving society all around them. They were determined to seek God, begging Him to give them a spirit of revival. I pray, God, give us a spirit of revival in this church, Lord. Give us a spirit of revival in our city, God. Before I want to finish well, before I die, I would like to see each one of you come to me and say, I'd like to introduce you to Pauline. I just led her to the Lord. Oh my goodness. If I could just see, I'd be on my deathbed, okay? And one by one, Gateway people would walk into the room with the person they just led to the Lord, and they'd say, hi, this is Cheryl, I'd like to introduce you to Rhoda. I just led her to the Lord. And I would say, Pastor Ken, this is Rhoda. I just led her to the Lord. I said, oh, Cheryl, thank you so much. Okay, I'd say, oh, revival has gone through our church. The people, they care so much. They care so, so much about Jesus and everything. The chapter in Nehemiah is incredible. And I know that was then, and this is now. And I know life is different, and life is, you know. But, you know, they had it pretty rough. This chapter can be called Rebuilding Through a Revived Spirit, all the while stressing the importance of seeking God, His goodness, and His mercy. Amen. So if you look at the chapters 1 to 5, it's seeking God through genuine confession. When you confess, you know, I think that so often we confess and we go for the dirtiest part of us, and we give God all the dirt. And that could have happened 25 years ago, and it's still, you still have some elements of it where it keeps surfacing. So that's what you give to God every time. But just ignoring Him. Like, you know what? Why does it always have to be the big stuff where we repent? God, I was in a worship service this morning. I tuned out the pastor. I didn't like the songs. I don't like those people on the worship team. You know what? I'm just tired. I didn't want to be there, but I went anyways. Anybody? Anyone would anyone admit that? And you're on the worship team. Seeking God through genuine confession. Verses 1 to 5. And verses 6 to 31, seeking God through praise and thanksgiving. Well, you know, they sang for 20, you guys don't do that here, okay? And I'm really thankful for that. Well, you know what? They sang for 21 minutes, and they're only supposed to sing for 17 minutes. And, you know, and I'm glad that was over. We used to have a guy that came to this church here, you know, and he didn't like the worship. He really didn't like the worship. So he would either stand outside there and come in once the worship was finished, or he would just come to church once the preaching. I said, you need to go to another church. I said, because you're just frustrating yourself, because we're never going to tailor make it for you to fit what you like. So he did go to another, I don't know if he goes to another church, but he didn't come here anymore. And it says here, look, so they had genuine confession for 5 verses, and then they were seeking God through praise and thanksgiving from verses 6 to 31. That's a lot of verses. And then they were pleading mercy in verses 32 to 37. They were pleading mercy in the midst of present trouble and hardship. When God's children are seeking a spirit of revival, 2 things are absolutely necessary. And that's genuine confession. It's genuine confession and genuine repentance of sin. Okay? Genuine repentance of sin. If I lust, it's sin. Okay? If I covet, it's sin. Okay? If I take a strip off you, Peter, and isn't it funny that, you know, when we're encouraging each other, we do it with all the fruits of the Spirit. But then when I have to come to you and I'm like, I don't like what you had to say, all the fruits of the Spirit are gone. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's just like this non-fruit of the Spirit person shows up in your life and is going to tell you what I think. Folks, like, what is that all about? When God's children are seeking a spirit of revival, two things are essential, and that's genuine confession and genuine repentance of sin. Repentance means that we turn away from our sins. God cannot accept sin, for He is holy and He is righteous and He is perfect in all of His being. He is perfect. So the thing is, either walk away from Him, but don't walk with Him in a pretend mode, because you're going to drive yourself crazy and everyone else around you. Amen? The Levites, they led the Jewish returnees in this prayerful song of praise and thanksgiving. The Lord was being praised for having led the nation down through the generations up to this very present time of revival. And the Levites, they sang from the depths of their heart. You know, John, you're on bass sometimes, you know, and you're not a typical bass player, because bass players don't usually say anything. But you hear the guy. Did you hear him this morning? Oh, my goodness. Like, you know what? Just say thank you, John. Okay? You know, some of those noises he makes may not even be on key. I'm just kidding. But thank him, okay? Just thank him. Thank you. Are you guys getting hungry? I see food out there. Did you know that the word good occurs 500 times in the Bible? Good. And seeking God through genuine confession, they humbled themselves. The people's service, it looked like this. Okay? So we try. I don't think that I look at Nehemiah and we put our service together so that it'll look like this. But it's interesting, as I looked at it this week, this is what their service looked like. So if they had a church service, this is what it would look like. Number one, they confessed their sins. Okay. So let's set up a mic here. We're going to start the service. And let's begin this morning by confessing our sins. Come on, let's. And they all went. They went. It wasn't like, well, you know, I don't really. They went. That's how they started their service, right? They confessed their sins. Number two. Okay, well, let me finish here for a second. And they read God's word for about 3 hours of daylight. So they confessed their sins and they read God's word for 3 hours of daylight. That's the beginning of the service. Now, I know that Cara restaurants have opened up every one of their restaurants except for Milestones in our restaurant in our city. And I know that you want to check it out but I personally, I like Mr. Poncho a lot better, but, you know. But they read the word for about 3 hours of daylight. And then they spent another 3 hours of daylight in confession and worship. And they were led in worship, praise, and prayer by the Levites. And they called on the Lord. The people praised God for Himself, for His supremacy. The Lord had mercy, and He delivered His people yet again. Folks, close your eyes with me. How many of you this morning would be honest and say you're carrying stuff that you should have given away a long, long time ago? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Over there? Anyone over there? Thank you. Thank you. Father, many hands indicate it, Lord, that we are walking in areas where the dunamis power of God and the good spirit is not allowed to manifest itself in our lives. And Lord, I pray today that the plumb line that we have established, the filter on how we see you, there would be a breakthrough. And that, Lord, once and for all, Lord, we would walk forward in victory, just as the day of Nehemiah, so that, Lord, revival could break out, and national revival, Lord, but first in our own homes, in our own hearts, Lord, that we would know that it's healthy to confess. We would know that it's healthy to be in your word. We would know that it is healthy to repent. We would know that it's healthy to worship you, to fill our homes, to fill our lives with praise and thanksgiving, to look and to be in awe of your supremacy. And Father, just as in the days of Nehemiah, we need to follow this pattern for today, Lord, so that there would be victory. Lord, I don't want to stand before a congregation and before you and to say there's areas where I'm disappointed. And I cry out to you, Lord, that the body of Christ would become very, very healthy. And that, Father, you would be glorified in our midst. So, Lord, help me to have grace when I speak to people. Help me to have grace to understand. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.